Hello and welcome back to the Global Energy Healing Summit. I am so excited to announce my guest today. Pamela Ostley is a consultant, best-selling author, visionary, professional psychic intuitive, a medium, and an aura expert. Pamela has appeared on ABC, CBS, NBC, The View, Dr. Oz, The Ricky Lake Show, Hallmark's Home and Family, Ianla, Coast to Coast with George Norrie, Gaia, with Lisa Gar, and hundreds of other television and radio shows. She has also been featured in many national magazines. Pam has spoken at the TEDx Talks, the International Forum on New Science, Fortune 500 companies, and many seminars for professionals in the psychology, education, health fields, and more. She has written 5 successful and popular books, Life Colors, Love Colors, Make Your Dreams Come True, and her latest books, Infinite You and The Truth According to John. She was awarded the Holistic Transformational Leader of the Year Award by the Global Association of Holistic Psychotherapy and Coaching. For nearly 40 years, she has had a very extensive clientele, including many celebrities. She also has the number one show for 11 years at a popular Santa Barbara radio station, which also broadcasts internationally via the internet. Pam is the founder of AuraColors.com, a site dedicated to help you create success, joy, and fulfillment in every area of your life. She has developed LoveColors.com. The site is designed to help you find love and friendships by matching you with people who have compatible aura colors. Pamela, thanks for joining me.
Hi, Jason. Great to be with you.
So you do a lot of things in this world of intuitive aspects, awareness, energy. I'm curious, how did all this develop for you? Before we get into all the fun stuff, it had to start somewhere. I'm curious, was it a big awakening or was it something slow that kind of crept up on you, didn't really know what it was?
Well, you know what, Jason? I think my whole life has been all about consciousness, spirituality, going beyond limitations and boundaries. I'm one of those people that doesn't like people to tell me I can't do something. So I've always been curious, a seeker, a spiritual. It's been my nature. So, okay, so like you said, almost 40 years ago, I can't believe it. I'm only 28 years old. So anyway, I went to hear a psychic speak. And I walked into the room and he said, you know how to do this, get up here. And it's like, what?
Wow.
What? And he said, no, you've been asking to go to the next level. This is it. And I went, wait, how'd you know that? So anyway, he kind of threw me in the water. He told me to start telling people what I saw about them. And I was surprised, Jason, to find out I knew things about them. I mean, I knew someone was pregnant. She didn't even know she was pregnant. I actually saw the spirit of a little girl standing next to her. I'd never seen that before in my life.
Wow.
It was kind of a quantum leap that happened, and I just had to trust it and go with it. And so I started out by being psychic, intuitive, clairvoyant, whatever you want to call that term. I think we need to come up, advanced consciousness. Mm-hmm. I allowed my consciousness to expand. About a year later, I met a woman who could see auras, and I brought her up to Santa Barbara where I live to do seminars and workshops with my people. And I discovered that she was seeing things that I was picking up psychically about people. So I went, oh, that's a yellow. Oh, that's a blue. Oh, that's a violet. Okay, I get it. So then within a year, I developed the ability to see the aura myself. But first I started picking it up psychically. So basically, it's always been my desire to know who we are, what we're capable of, to go for it, to be kind of fearless, fearful in the fearlessness, to go for it. And it just keeps expanding. And once you, honestly, Jason, once you have these abilities where you start allowing yourself to expand, everything opens up, everything. I mean, just the, well, I'm sure we'll get into it, but the number of things that we're capable of doing is mind blowing or mind expanding. I should say it expands your mind, expands everything in your life.
Well, it's fascinating. I think I first had my real kind of, let's say, peek through the veil that I was conscious of through an experience with ayahuasca. And so this is more common now than it was, let's say, 30 or 40 years ago, but it's certainly not the only or maybe even the best way, I would say, for many people. And yet for me, that was something that was so illuminating. It basically allowed me to see another world. I was very caught in my ordinary mind, very scientific, right? I love to see things proven, demonstrate something to me, right? There was a fundamental distrust. And I think a lot of this came from childhood and some other things too. And at that same time, when I had this experience, I recognized the magic of life. There was something beyond that I wasn't conscious of before, right? And so I think what's fascinating is as that sort of opened up for me, then my curiosity really blossomed. It was like, oh, it was really The Matrix, right? I mean, of course, many people say this is a documentary, right? The Matrix. And once we see through it, then it's like something opens up, and the magic, the excitement for me, really, really blossomed. And so I'm curious, you know, I'm very much still very in love with science. I think science is really cool. It's by no means the be all end all. And yet it is a cool way that we can validate some of the experiences that we may question or we may not understand fully from our own experience. I'm curious, as we sort of, as quantum physics has really taken hold, what is the relationship as you see it between quantum physics and sort of this more spiritual awakening that is all around us now?
I'm like you. I mean, I like to know the science or the logic behind why I can do what I can do. So quantum physics has been a big study of mine for decades. And so I see it as quantum physics is proving and validating what the spiritual mystics and teachers have been saying for centuries. So to me, they go hand in hand. It's like giving ground or understanding or logic or proof or whatever you want to call it to our experiences, to what the mystics have been saying forever.
One of the things I'm curious about, because from my experience, these, let's say, very subtle gifts or subtle awareness capacity that you have either naturally been born with or maybe even developed further, seem to be something around the ability to sense the subtle nature of things. And I notice in our reality, and especially in the West, our senses are quite dulled, right? We have so much stimulus, we have so much sound and visuals, and it's nonstop stimulation. And in my study of Ayurveda, that is one of the things that they talk about, is like this overstimulation of the taste buds, of the sensory organs in every way. And when we quiet things down, when we go into the stillness, whether it's through meditation or being in nature or being in a flow state of any kind, there seems to be this perception that starts to develop that we can hone, that we could develop further and grow. And I'm curious if that's something that you continue to practice and develop your sort of fine senses in that way, and kind of how you work with people, teach them maybe how to develop this further.
Okay, well, great point, because I believe honestly that we all have all these advanced abilities. And just to let people know, I am intuitive and psychic, and I can talk to the other side, and I can do remote viewing, and I can use parallel universes to change realities, to change my circumstances. I can mind over matter. I teach people how to bend spoons, you know, that kind of stuff. So all of these, and see auras, see energy fields, and change things using energy. So all of the, and see past, present, future, and see outside of time, and see other lives, past, present, and future, right? All of those are because I've learned how to develop a natural ability that all of us have. And honestly, Jason, I believe that's where humanity's headed. Mm. More and more people are interested in this. More and more people are getting experiences in this. And the biggest key in all of it is exactly what you said, is quieting our mind, because it's like another state of consciousness. It's another state of awareness. Like we've got sleep, we've got daydreaming, we've got awake, we've got, you know, there are different states of consciousness. And so going, expanding to that level, deepening to that level, becoming aware of those more, if you want to call it subtle, although boy, once you start getting in touch with
right.
them, they're louder than, you know, I mean, it's so obvious, the feelings, the visions, the pictures, it becomes very apparent, much more obvious. So it can start out subtle, but you're right. That's one of the biggest things that keeps people from achieving or connecting with it, is the overstimulation. Mm-hmm. We're being bombarded with everything. So I have learned how to just, and it's funny because I know before they'd have to go into caves for 40 yeah. years, you know, and be still in order to connect with that. When you develop this ability and you trust it, I can be in a noisy bus station, or not that I go to bus stations, airports, or, you know, on a plane or at a party, whatever. And I can still connect at that level and see what's going on. But it's way more challenging if the TV's on I'm on my phone and I'm checking email, and it's like, then I can't, it's too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's harder to break through. It's harder to get in there.
Well, it seems like there's just maybe a little bit of practice, so to speak, this repetition of kind of like if you're playing the piano for the first time, or you're playing the violin, or you're just wandering into music, and you're not quite what a C not sure what a C sharp sounds like, right? And then you hear it and you go, okay, that's a C sharp. And then eventually, over time, you know what a C sharp sounds like, and if it's just a little bit off, your ear can pick it up, right? So there's these neural pathways and these energies that we can sense, right? We know that if somebody goes blind, then the other senses start to enhance, right? So it's like we dedicate our neurology, our whole system really, to the precise awareness of these what were once subtle things, and then they become very very acute, very very overt, right? And I have this my experience myself, particularly in the body, right? So I used to be so numb in the body. And then through enough practice and enough, some therapy, if you will, energetic work, I was able to process sort of the muck and the gunk that was in the way. And then I could start to feel. And then I could feel very subtle things. And I was like, oh, there it is. There's something. I could feel my left pinky toe, right? Like these are very interesting things. Vipassana helped with this for me in a big way. And then it became so overt. I could feel into my solar plexus very easily. I could feel into my root. I could feel into these things, pick up these energies, these sensations, and then the content within, right? So I'm just kind of pointing to this idea that even though we might go into meditation or start on this in this journey of trying to uncover these things, it might be challenging at first. We may not be able to sense or pick up or notice things, but over time, with enough keen awareness and paying attention, then it seems to develop naturally.
It does. It totally does. You're exactly right, Jason. It's funny because, well, a couple of things. First of all, the way I help people develop these natural abilities to align with them, to access them, to open them up, to allow them to emerge is really it, because we all have it. We all have it. I mean, some people it's easier for than others, because just like it's easier for some people to become musicians than others, or writers than others, some people are really going to be good at it and other people, but we can all learn how to play chopsticks on the piano,
Totally.
So, but what I tell people, number one, in order to access these, number one, you have to be willing to do it. So many people are afraid that, there's so much fear out there about, oh, I could tune into something I don't want to see, or I'll lose my mind and people will think I'm crazy, or, I won't be in touch with the reality anymore. And it's like, no, that's not what happens. It's not what happens. So fear. So the number one thing for people to be able to access this is a willingness and a trust to go in there. And then learning to be still, learning to, so that you can connect with that other voice in you, that deeper part of you that knows things that you can practice with. So being still enough to get in touch with that, then practicing just, doing it over and over again. And one of the biggest ones, and I had to learn this too, was trusting. Trusting that I was hearing. When I first started doing this, I picked up things and I was afraid to be wrong. So I was afraid to say things. And then I found out, oh, guy, it was exactly what I picked up. So trusting it. And then a key that a lot of people forget when they do these processes is to acknowledge and give gratitude that you're actually picking it up, to acknowledge yourself that you're courageous enough to go for it, willing to expand, and that you got some things, or you were able to expand to that level. Plus, I told you I see auras, right? I see energy fields and auras. You have a lot of yellow in your aura, Jason, and yellow's from the body. You've also got some tan and you've got some violet. So yellows are more physical. It's about nature and feeling things in the body. So I'm glad you learned how to sense that, because that's natural for yellows. And then tans are more logical, more analytical, more, and they can get skeptical. I want the facts, I want the logic, I want the data. So they're much more practical.
I've got the engineer mind.
Yeah, that's a yellow tan. That's a yellow tan. But you've got a lot of violet in your aura now. So you've developed violet, and violets are more, they talk faster, they're visionaries, they're more intuitive, they're more psychic, they're more global conscious, they're more cosmic, they're bigger picture, bigger picture. They want to go beyond the boundaries, and they're typically teachers. They get involved in media. But it's interesting to me that you started out with yellow, which is physical, and the tan, which is mental, and you went up, boom, and then that violet, which is more spiritual, emotional, developed.
Well, it's funny, you totally nailed it. And even as you mentioned, after you sort of connect with these things to sort of give gratitude to the grace, right? To feel into the beauty of that, it actually hit me with some emotion, right? So there's a piece there that I think is that I've learned And I forget all the time when I connect and when I'm able to tap into some of these things, or when I'm in such a flow, right? That it's sometimes it's actually become natural, right? At first there was a lot of efforting, and then it's become more natural. And in that sort of natural capacity, sometimes I do forget how lucky I am to even be able to experience anything at all, let alone these sort of the what I would say progression in my own experience, this expansion that I'm perceiving. But it is, to me, like, I don't know, as these things have opened up for me, it has made my life infinitely easier. And that piece that you mentioned about trust has been such a challenge for me, because there's so much conditioning I've recognized that needs to, that we get to undo, right? Because the skeptic, the ordinary mind, the physical reality, it seems like all there is at first, right? And then undoing that and trusting this thing that seems so bizarre. I mean, I've picked up some really bizarre things sitting with people, and it's like, as they're coming through, I am afraid sometimes, you know, I'm like, this is weird. You know, I don't know if this is right. I'm afraid to be wrong for not only the conditioned part of me that is afraid to be wrong in general, but also to deliver incorrect information or to lead somebody astray. That's also a conditioned part, right? That is afraid to let somebody down or whatever. So I'm just pointing to the ton of conditioning we have in the human experience that is really helpful to wade through. And as we learn to do that, the trust factor starts to increase. And I've noticed there's times where it's like, it's so doubtful that there's absolutely no fear. And it just comes from the heart with ease.
Yeah. Well, Jason, like I said before, I honestly believe this is where humanity's headed.
Yeah.
So when people are afraid, it's funny because yellows can procrastinate and tans, you know, step one, step two, step three, step four, they got to see the logic, the groundedness, the practical. Yellows are more curious, spontaneous. Violets want to leap. They go 150. I want to do it now. I want to be there now. I don't want to be left behind.
They're more leaping. That's so me. Yeah.
So one, I want, because we don't want to promote the fear. Yes. Or the hesitancy. I also don't want people thinking, because if we set it up this way, we'll experience it this way, that it's got to be hard, or that it's hard, or that it's scary. It's like, no, I'm not going to affirm that anymore. It's natural. It's where it's going. And you violets don't want to be left behind. So I always go, you know what? Okay, you can wait till everybody else does it. And then you can, you know, get in the game, because violets don't like that. Yeah. Anyway, so I believe this is where we're going. And it's just one of the things, our consciousness is expanding. It's part of our evolution. And do you mind me sharing what I've been told from the other side?
Yeah, I would love that. Cause that's what I feel intuitively, is that the train is in that direction, and we can continue to fight it and hold on to our old ways of being, both individually and collectively, or we can step into maybe the uncertainty and the quote unquote fear of something new and see where that takes us. Right. That seems to be what's happening right now.
Our souls are leading us that way. We have to evolve or we're going to extinguish ourselves. Okay. We have to evolve. And that's where our souls want to go. So we're leading ourselves forward. And the issue that's out in the world right now is the battle between the old and the new. Mm-hmm. The fear of holding on to, we got to keep life the way it's always been. It's not working the way it's always been. The caterpillar is falling apart so the butterfly can emerge. Right.
Right.
So what I've been told is that there's a new renaissance ahead, and we've already entered into parts of it. And they gave me the example of, we've had this happen before. We had the fall of the Roman Empire, and then we went into the Dark Ages, where there was a pandemic, by the way, Black Death happened. And then out of that emerged the Renaissance. And in the Renaissance, there was new philosophy, new science. That's when Newtonian physics showed up, and the world wasn't flat anymore. And they started traveling around the world, and the printing press came out. So communication was more available to everyone. New art, new beauty, new philosophy, new science, new health, everything shifted. And the people in the Dark Ages couldn't even have fathomed what was going to emerge in the Renaissance, right? Now, that took hundreds of years. If you haven't noticed, things are a lot faster now. So what they've told me is that what we have ahead is a new Renaissance that's coming. So we're going through that birthing process, which is uncomfortable. And the old is afraid to change. Fear, we're like, want to move forward, and then there's fear. That we want to move forward, and then there's old habit. You know, we're so old habit that it's hard to sometimes, I don't want to affirm that, but it can be challenging to break through. But there's something in us that knows there's more, that wants to move forward. So what they showed me was that the first Renaissance was based on Newtonian physics, which is basically Newton, and it's a mechanical universe, yeah, a biomechanical, right? Where we're headed, the new Renaissance is going to be based on quantum physics, which is all about energy and consciousness.
It's so exciting. I'm just giddy inside for what's to come. And it feels like that. And I will say though, while there is this excitement in my system, and what I feel is, what you're saying is true, and there's still uncertain aspects that feel challenging. And there's a lot of compassion I feel right now, because there's so much struggle. There's so much suffering right now. So how can sort of empaths and the ones that want world peace and just everybody to be okay and everybody to communicate and to love one another, how do we look at this world and manage ourselves as we're going through this time of chaos and sort of destruction in a way? Because what I've learned is I can't change the world like I thought I could in my old ways, right? This like forceful way, but I can change myself, which inherently changes the world, right? So what can we do individually as we sort of witness this sort of chaos all around us?
My opinion, my belief is the more you evolve, the more you're going to affect everybody else. Mm-hmm. I like to use this analogy, and usually I have to use this analogy on people with blue auras, because blues are rescuers and yellows are healers too, okay, and very compassionate and sensitive. But we blues are the compassionate ones. We've been trained to think that you're supposed to get down in the pit with everybody, right? Get down in there and help them and get them on your shoulders and help them get out of the pit. And, you know, you stay down there and kind of sacrifice your life to help these other people out. I go, most people are afraid to get out of that pit first themselves. What's up there, monsters? Are people going to hate me? Am I going to die? Am I going to be alone? So everybody stays down in the pit thinking that we're all victims and suffering. The most loving thing we can do is get out of the pit first ourselves, show people it's possible, put your own oxygen mask on first in the plane, okay, because then the child won't be afraid to do that. So you get out of the pit first yourself, show people what's possible, demonstrate that so that they're not afraid of it. So then, and everybody's got a different mission here on the planet, or a different purpose for coming here. So if they're down in the pit looking at you up there going, what, you mean it's okay for me to live my dreams? It's okay for me to be happy and healthy? You mean there's no monsters up there? And, you know, people aren't going to hate? Wow. And then everybody's got permission to live their authentic self, their soul, their purpose for coming here. Not everyone wants to be the way you are. Not everyone wants to be empathetic or sensitive or help heal the world. A lot of souls came here for a different reason. So it's giving people permission to do that. I think one of the biggest things is, and people don't like when I say this, but we have got to stop buying into victim consciousness. You know, compassion, love, yes, but leading the way, not trying to rescue, because basically, when people try to rescue someone else, they're actually looking down on them. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're basically saying, look, I'm amazing. I can help you. You're kind of, you're less than, you don't know what you're doing. So I'm going to help you. There's a difference between compassion, support, and allowing somebody to live their vision, but to also have them believe in themselves. Yeah. Right. Totally. So the best way to help them believe in themselves is, one, show them what's possible. Okay, be the leader, be the visionary, be the demonstrator. And then the most loving thing to do is go, I believe in you. I trust your soul knows what it's doing, and whatever path you got going on, go for it, sweetie. Live it full out. And, you know, if you just show them options, give people choices, right? Yeah. Does that make sense to you?
Totally. I think it was Abraham Lincoln, and I might just paraphrase this quote, but he said something like, the best way to help a poor person is not to become one.
Yeah.
Right? And so it feels like, whoa, that's a little offensive, right? But what he's saying is like, no, you be wealthy and then you can help others do the same, right? Not to go down and join them in the poverty. That's not going to really get us anywhere. And this is what I see a lot. And I mean, I'm in Southern California. I know you're in California. We have a lot of this in California, where there's this misery loves company kind of scenario. And I think it's because there's a fundamental compassion and empathy, and it's just a lack of understanding of the best way to actually assist and to help, right? And it is to be that beacon of light. And mm-hmm. And I see this with wealth. Wealth dynamics is a really interesting, I mean, I held a lot of this for a long time. This is a lot of work that I've had to do recently, to not be in this sort of poverty complex that I grew up in, and view the wealthy or having money with any sort of negative energy or disdain. And that was an interesting thing that I had to really sit within my own system to recognize where some of this came from and how to step aside and step into something new. So when it comes to healing, maybe somebody's got physical ailments they're working through, or they have financial challenges they can't seem to ever get moving forward, or they can't find their purpose. How do you advise these people to work with energy to move to a new level?
Oh, we're going to have some fun now. We're going to go out there. Okay, Jason. So first of all, I want people to know that you won't always get what you want, but you will always get what you believe. Mm-hmm. Okay. Who we really are as souls, we are. And this is where I believe we're evolving to, is basically heaven on earth, realizing who we really are. If we're suffering, we've either forgotten who we are. There's only two reasons. We've either forgotten who we are and that we're creating all this with our thoughts, which is quantum physics, by the way. Okay, there's all kinds of scientific proof on this one. We've either forgotten who we are, or we're putting ourselves into challenging situations for the experience to see what it feels like, get the juice out of it, and then either like really wow about it, you know, like the same reason we go to the movies, or to see if we can overcome, to see what we're made of. So those are the only two reasons we put ourselves into situations like that. Now, if people buy into the victim and, oh my gosh, I'm helpless and I can't do anything about it, do you understand? That's not helping anybody. And it's not a great way to do life. So some of the things that I teach people, now we're going to go out there, okay?
I love it.
Again, is quantum physics, you guys, it's grounded. There is evidence of of what I'm going to say next. Parallel universes are a real thing. They're a real thing. It's quantum physics. And so to show you in a lay term how interesting this is, okay, which way do I go on this one? Hold on.
Well, so can I direct you a little bit? Because one of my experiences that I've had directly, and this, again, I feel weird saying this, there's a little part coming up as I name this, but it's sort of what I call jumping timelines. Yes. So it's like I'm on a timeline and there's something that happens that I can actually have learned to do this. And sometimes I've noticed it just kind of happens because it's like I'm on a track. And reality is one way, and then I jump timelines and something shifts, like reality shifts so suddenly it's a completely different track, if that makes sense.
And it's the same thing. So I use this analogy because it's frequency, it's vibration, it's energy, because you're talking about energy. It's like, imagine, you don't have to imagine, right now in the room you're in, there's at least 10 radio stations broadcasting around you. Hmm. And those radio waves are in the room with you right now, but you're not connected. You don't know they're there because you're not tuned into the frequency. You're not tuned into the tuner, right? So if you went to your radio station, your radio, and turned it on and put it on 99.9, right? You're going to hear the talk, the music, the program that's going on. That becomes your reality. If you change it over to 107, now that's your reality. That's what you're listening to. That's the program. 99.9 is going on around you all the time. It's still there. You're just not aware of it because you're not vibrating. You're not in the frequency. You haven't tuned into that show, right? So that's the same way with parallel universes. So there's a you. This is how bizarre this is. But remember, a lot of things that were once were believed to be science fiction are now science fact. I mean, just our cell phones. Sliding doors, rocket.
Go back and watch Star Trek, right? Like it's
exactly.
Wild.
It was all supposed to be science fiction, but it's now science fact. Same thing with parallel universes. So when people get that this is real, anytime we've discovered something like aerodynamics that existed before, once we realized it was a real thing, now we can fly. Parallel universes are a real thing. And you can change your life dramatically, quickly. You can change your circumstances just by changing the channel, just by jumping, just by going into, we do it all the time, by the way, Jason, we're just not aware of it because everybody, we've been taught to believe there's only one reality. And that's
we're
not
all in it, right? Yeah.
Just like they thought there was only one continent or one planet or one solar system, right? It's like, oh my gosh, there's infinite. So this is how bizarre this is. There's a you that married somebody you knew in high school. There's a you that never got married at all. There's a you that's living in another country with four kids. Every time you make a choice, I don't care if it's you decided to wear white or, you know, instead of black, right? Every time you make a choice, there's an actual you, a consciousness, a you that splits off and is having that experience. Okay, so that's why we have deja vu, I believe. Okay, because we're intersecting with this. And you can go read David Deutsch. He's a world famous quantum physicist, and his whole thing is about parallel universes. Stephen Hawking called it multiverse. It doesn't matter what you called it. They're real things. So since they're real things, when I first discovered them and I went, well, if that's a real thing, we should be able to use those to our advantage, just like we do quantum physics. We have cell phones because of it, satellites because of it. We have GPS because of quantum physics, right? So it's like, all right. So all you have to do in order to shift realities is to change your focus, change your thoughts, change your emotions, and it actually brings you into a new one. Again, we do it all the time, just unconsciously, but I've done it intentionally. I honestly believe that's why people have spontaneous remission from cancer or illnesses. All of a sudden, they're fine, right? So they exist. And I teach people in my courses how to shift them, but it's really easy. You're just basically changing your thoughts, your beliefs, and it affects your emotions, and emotions are energy and motion, and it shifts your trajectory. I mean, I do psychic work, so I can see people's future, but I always let them know it's free will. It's free will. I can see based on their current beliefs and the path they're on right now, where they're headed. And if they don't like that, we've helped people cure cancer. We've helped people not get divorced, you know, change their marriage, all kinds of things by seeing where they're headed. And look, if you do this, if you do this, if you do this, you're going to get off the path. I like to explain, it's like if you're in a helicopter, let's say above New York City, you're above and you're watching, I'm watching you in a car down below, and I go, oh, get off that street because there's a traffic jam ahead. So if you turn right and go up two more streets and then, you know, turn left again, you won't hit that traffic jam because I can see that above, right? We all have that ability. And people will choose sometimes, no, I'm going to stay on the path I'm on. It's like, okay. And then they run into the traffic jam.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because it still marries with some of these more basic concepts, right? Like the law of cause and effect, right? So if I eat this food, or if I do this exercise, or if I sleep at this time of day, like we're going to start to see reality emerge based on those choices that we make. And this is obviously a completely ordinary level of mind that we're in. And then we have things like karma, right? And some of the things that are maybe taught in the more spiritual practice that are essentially law of cause and effect, right? So we don't even have to go very far to see the evidence of what you're talking about, that all these little choices. And I find that while daily habits and the actions that we take are very crucial, some of the more important aspects that I've recognized in my life are the beliefs, are the mental processes, the thoughts. And sometimes, well, I would say most times, these beliefs and these thought patterns are unconscious. They're operating in the background based on past experiences and conditionings that we're not aware of. And so simply bringing some of those unconscious thoughts and emotions and beliefs and starting to bring those conscious, even if we're not ready to change those yet, just becoming aware of them, seeing them for what they are, recognizing them as past programs, getting curious about them, maybe why they're there, how do I change them, what do I actually want, what's the new thought that I want instead, right? Mm-hmm. Or new belief that I actually want to inculcate. And so that seems to be kind of the starting point. And then with a little bit of intention and some practices, I've noticed, and consistency, I would say consistency in all this work that we're talking about, to me, consistency is like, is such an important factor. But then all of a sudden things start to shift.
Well, and absolutely. I mean, we've all done that. You know, you go through a therapy or you go through, okay, what's my hidden belief? And I go, you know what, you guys, it's not that hidden. All you have to do is look at your life. Your life is a reflection of your beliefs. Okay. It really is. Whatever you believe is going to show up in your outer world. So it's not even like so hidden this, like, oh my gosh, I got to get in there and really do some deep thinking. And that is one way to go, right? What the funny thing is, and again, that is a valid way to go. And sometimes it's safer for people. They've got a process. They want the journey. Sometimes I want to take a road trip someplace. Right. I want to get on a plane and get there because I got things to do there, right? So that's one way to do it for sure. And our beliefs do create a reality. Our thoughts and beliefs and emotions create a reality. They really do. And that's, again, physics. The faster way to do it, because I noticed I did a radical shift of being single and then being in a relationship. I just dropped believing in this one in universe one. I just dropped believing in it. It's like just taking off my jacket, whatever. It's like, okay, I'm done with this. I'm no longer going to put energy into it. I don't hold on to that belief anymore. And I just shifted universes and everything changed. Everything. I mean, radically changed. I was in a relationship then with the person. Then when I changed realities, people can see this in my TEDx talk. All of a sudden I was with the person that I wanted to be with, and all my girlfriends who were in universe one complaining that they were single, no great guys, they want to be married, they want to have families, they're all single over here. As soon as I shifted all my girlfriends were in relationships. They were getting married. And it's like, I started experimenting with this like 30 some years ago. And so I couldn't go to them at that point and go, hey, you know what? In this other universe, you're still single and complaining. Right, about right. Back then they would have thought I was crazy. Now I tell them all and they're like, wow, that's really interesting. Cause that's all that information's coming out now. So there's lots of different ways to get there. We can process all those beliefs. We can find out where they come from. Oh yeah, it's because of my childhood. It's becoming, I go, that's one way to go. It's not the only way to go.
Yeah.
You can shift. You can change the channel like that.
I had that same experience.
You're younger than I am, but I remember we had to get up and go turn the knob on the TV station. No, on the TV to get another channel. Now it's like, oh man, the remote's not working. Come on. One finger. It's like, come on. Bip, 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 bip. And we've got thousands of shows to watch now, where when I was growing up, I think we had like 7 channels or something.
Yeah, I do remember that. I remember 13 channels, and they would have to go up there and turn this knob. Very strange. Yeah. But I had the same experience. I actually met my wife and had my son in the same way. I actually set an intention, a very heartfelt, connected, grounded intention, that I'm ready to find my person and start a family. And it was actually 4 hours later that it began. So to your point, there's something about, to me, what you're pointing to and what I've noticed is it comes down to making a choice. Like there's some times that you just choose. And it's hard to put words to, because we can make these choices from the mind, right, and the conditioning, or we can make a choice from the depths of our soul, from our being. And it's like, when you do that, things will radically shift. And it's like saying, no more, I'm done with that, I'm on to the next, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's such a radical shift. And I know that feeling when it happens. And I know when I'm kind of trying to fake it till I make it, so to speak.
Yeah. And you know what, honestly, there's usually 2 core reasons why we don't have what we want. We either think we can't, we're not enough, we can't, it's not possible. I'm not smart enough, I'm not rich enough, I'm not pretty enough, I'm not whatever it is, I can't, okay, because I'm not enough or whatever. Or I shouldn't, because I'm bad. There's something wrong with me. I could hurt people. People will be jealous. You know, I'll have more than them. So it's either I can't or I shouldn't. Mm-hmm. I can't because I'm not enough. I shouldn't because I'd be bad. Mm-hmm. And that blocks us from everything. You'd be amazed at how many people I've seen, especially guys for some reason, that are afraid to have more money than their father made because they don't want to hurt their father. Sabotage their own abundance or their own wealth or their own success because they don't want to make their father feel bad. It's amazing how many people have that one. They don't want to hurt somebody else. They don't want to make someone else feel less than.
Yeah.
They're both based on fear. They're both based on faulty information.
Yeah, it totally makes sense to me. I mean, I get it completely. Well, your aura colors is kind of your thing. I'm really curious, how are you using this, right? So you named, a couple things for me, and that's all well and cool, right? Like, so I'm going to point out, like, this is really cool. I'm not experienced with auras in that way. How are you using these? What's the value that you are bringing to your clients and or that maybe clients and people that you speak with or teach about these things can really bring into their life?
So basically, let's put it this way. You chose to come to this planet. You chose to come here at this time. Matter of fact, there's infinite number of you having different experiences simultaneously. Okay, there's a you that's hanging out in the 16th century, another you that's hanging out in 2150.
I've experienced some of these, by the way.
Yeah. They all exist simultaneously. We're infinite beings. We are infinite beings. So the aura colors that you've chosen. Now, some people see the aura differently than I do, and a lot of people see the same things. What I see are lots of different colored bands out from people. Okay. And the 1 or 2 colors of bands that are closest to your body are what I call your life colors. Mm-hmm. That's what reveals who you've chosen to be in this lifetime. Mm-hmm. Personality you want to be, what you wanted to experience, the careers you're going to be the happiest with, what relationship compatibility, potential health issues. You've kind of left breadcrumbs behind in case you got here and you went, wait, why was I, well, I forgot what I was supposed to, what I would planned on doing here. Who so you've got a plan. And so we left a lot of breadcrumbs behind, Jason. We've got it in astrology, numerology, iridology, palmistry. The aura colors are just another one. So people ask me, it's like, I don't usually see the 1 or 2 bands closest to your body changing because those are your life purpose.
Kind of your constitution, so to speak.
Yeah, it's what you chose to be here in this lifetime. And it reflects that. It reveals what you've chosen. The outer bands in the aura, those change all the time. depending on what's going on with you at the time. So for example, if somebody's really angry, I see red flaring up. Once they're not angry anymore, that red goes away. That's different than someone who's got a red life color. That's a different energy, a different frequency, a different vibration. So the way it's helpful is, first of all, it helps somebody validate and understand who they really are. Mm-hmm. I've had so many people going, oh God, no wonder I felt that way my whole life. No wonder I like Tans tend to want security, financial security. So they'll get jobs, they'll be practical. They either do technical stuff or archaeologists or architects or accountants or engineers. They're data, they're detail people, right? Mm-hmm. Pilots don't want to work for other people. They want to do their own projects. They want to have freedom.
No wonder I've had conflict in my life with that.
Yeah. So violets want to do either the arts or the media. They're radio people. They're performers, they're actors, they're musicians, they're artists, designers, or they get into teaching or psychology or spirituality, or they get into politics, law, or causes, right? Where tans don't like violets because they think violets are unrealistic dreamers, visionaries, because tans go 1 to 10, 1 to 10, 1 to 10, stay grounded, pay the bills, be cautious, right? And tans are very cautious with their money, where violets go, no, 150, there's something bigger going on. I got a bigger mission here. I'm supposed to live this big, blah, blah, blah. And a tan will go, well, that's awfully arrogant of you. Who do you think you are? You know, what do you think you know? Do you understand? So there can be conflict. So there are a lot of violets out there that have been trained to think they're supposed to be tans. So they're in jobs they're not happy with, or they get involved in, career's a big one. Where they're living, there's even places like yellows. Yellows like nature and they like sunshine. Okay. Yeah. Yellows are not usually that happy in gigantic cities where they can't see any nature. Right. So it helps somebody go, oh, this is okay. Now I get it. And so then you get to reinforce who they are. And each one of the aura colors has different tools that work for them, that make them happy, that make them fulfilled, that help them live their purpose here. And then not only does it help us understand, validate, and live our true colors, helps us understand each other. Okay, so instead of running around going, why can't you think more like me? Why can't you be more like me? We go, oh, you're a lavender. I get it. Oh, you're a blue. Oh, no wonder you're like that. Okay. And then we can speak their language. We can support them being who they are and their purpose for coming here, instead of thinking everyone's supposed to be like us.
Yeah, I love what you're naming, because it's, going back to some of my Ayurvedic training and some of the other things that I've looked at, there's something fundamental about our constitution that I think when we understand our constitution, whether it's in through the Ayurvedic map or through the aura colors or gene keys or, you name it, there's all these maps out there that we can look to help us understand ourselves. But I think it's really important to recognize that we are who we are at our core. And when we align with that, then it seems like things kind of unfold. We find our purpose, we find our mission, we find more ease. Like there's just something really beautiful. And then, but I think what's challenging I've noticed is that we have our core, our constitution, and we have all this conditioning and this layering that comes from cultural, backgrounds or family backgrounds. And so when we're kind of developing, sometimes it's hard to distinguish who am I really and who has shown up based on all these conditionings.
Yeah. Oh, it's definitely challenging, Jason. But here, the thing is, though, deep down inside, you do know.
Of course.
Deep down inside, you do know. And then you can tell when it comes from the outside and when you're trying to, because we yellows and blues were pleasers. We want to make sure people like us and that we're not upsetting people and we're being a good person. Although yellows are also rebels. Okay. They don't want to be told what to do. So, but you understand, we each came here for a different reason. We each came here for a different experience. It's like going to a different movie. There are people out there that like to go to horror movies or slash and burn movies or, war movies. It's like, they're not my thing, right? But there are people that like those movies. So it's the same thing. Their souls might have come here to experience that. Yeah. It's like, and if I see someone who's chosen to be born into dysfunctional situations, where there's a challenge, I go, usually those souls are the people that came here to help other people. Once they survive it, now they've got the compassion, the awareness, the firsthand experience. So then they come out with compassion and want to help other people, right? I see a lot of therapists. That's very common for violets.
Yeah. I work with a lot of clients in that same realm. It's like, and it's hard to really have that message land until there's some kind of tipping point in their sort of healing or reclamation in some way. And so, but it's what I've seen over and over again. There's this like emergence from the other side. It's the phoenix rising from the ashes in that way, right?
If you get stuck in it, that's why I said the victim thing, the victim stuff, that's, it's detrimental to us. We think it's like, yeah, but now you have compassion. And so it's not that you don't have compassion. It's just that if somebody feels like they're a victim and they buy into that, they're never going to get out of it.
Right.
Okay. When you start telling, I use this analogy. If you've got a child, when they start riding a bike, we think the most loving thing to do is hold on to the handlebars of the bike. When the child's learning to ride a bike, we think that's loving. Well, we don't want to see them get hurt. But basically what you're saying to that child is you don't believe in them. The most loving thing you can do is go for it. You can do this. And then they go, wow, someone believes I can ride a bike. And they learn how to ride a bike. We've all survived falling off bikes, right? So back to how what's the best way we can help people? By being that ourselves, by demonstrating that ourselves. Most of the big master spiritual teachers, that's what they did.
Totally. Yeah, that's absolutely.
Demonstrated.
Well, and I've been around many of these amazing beings, and literally just when you're in their presence, you can feel yourself shifting, right? There's an awakening that happens. There's a remembering that happens among these amazing beings because they've done so much work, because they have gifts for whatever reason. But the impact is so obvious, even to the most dull of minds like myself sometimes. And so as we develop this ourselves, this unconscious unfolding that happens all around us, particularly in our immediate family unit and our friends and our loved ones, and then our wider community, and of course the world as a whole, and then beyond, right? I mean, this thing is whole, is entirely connected. So I think that's what's, it's great to understand that it doesn't just stop within the walls of your home. This is infinite in its expression. And so with that, I kind of want to, last question I want to ask you, because we're running out of time here. You mentioned remote viewing, and I want to tap into this idea of kind of non-local mind, right? Because there's something really powerful that I've experienced myself in this realm, that once I get out of this sort of, if sometimes I'll get caught in my ordinary mind, ordinary consciousness. And if I tune into it, I can sense it. It's actually right here. It's kind of forward a little bit. It's right around the head. And then once I can drop that and I can expand my awareness, then my mind, and maybe you can help define that for us a little bit, because that's an interesting topic itself. Then it's free to express in different ways in a non-local way. And I find there's tremendous benefits that come into my world when I'm in that state.
Yeah. So again, that's quantum physics, Jason, non-local mind. Basically, we've been trained to think that who we are, and we've got a brain, and that's who we are. That's what's running us. No, that's like saying your TV is creating all the programs that you're watching on it.
Yeah,
no,
right.
Who we are as beings are these infinite, amazing, expansive beings. We're not little Casper the ghost trapped in our bodies. Our bodies and our minds are focusing mechanisms here, our brains focusing, but that's not who we are. It's where we're focusing so we can have this experience, right? In 3D, on three-dimensional. But who we really are is expansive. And so that's why I can locate missing persons. I can go talk to somebody on the other side. I can go talk to somebody who's in Europe. I can have, it's, and by the way, telepathy is part of where we're going. Okay. Right. Being able to communicate, we're not going to need all this technology down the road. People can do that if they want to, but who we really are is very expansive. So mind, not brain, mind is our consciousness. I prefer that word. Our consciousness is infinite. It's expansive. It is not limited to our bodies. Once you get that, it's like, wow, your mind can go anywhere. And again, this is quantum physics. Our consciousness is non-local. It's everywhere. I'm sure you've had the experience where you think of somebody and then they call.
Of course. Yeah. I mean, I think most people have, right?
Yeah. That's all part of that non-local connected mind. And real quick, since you said we're almost at the end, I want to just throw one more thing in there about parallel universes.
Yeah.
There's more than one Earth. There's more than one planet. So if you're on a planet where you're seeing a whole bunch of suffering and the environment is falling apart and there's war and blah, 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 go, that's coming from your consciousness. You can shift to a planet where none of that's going on, where it's peace and harmony. We can, but there's something about our soul, sweetie, that we're adventurous beings. We want to have experiences. We want to see what we're made of. We want the challenges. We want to see if we're compassionate. We want to see if we can experience love. Do you understand? So one, we end up on the Earth or the planet that we believe in, and also the one that we want to experience. Okay. I mean, the quantum physicists are actually saying there is a world where the Germans won World War II, and we're all speaking German. That actually exists. It's a parallel universe that exists. There's another one where we blew ourselves up a long time ago. That one is a reality. Do you understand? So that's why I like to focus on whatever you focus on is going to increase. So if we start, I understand there's a difference between feeding into, oh my gosh, the war and those poor people and, you know, the starvation and blah, 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 and getting sucked into the fear and the trauma and the helplessness and the victimness, or starting to see everything flourishing and everybody's healthy and happy and their souls are having experiences here that they want. We can create that with our thoughts. Does that make sense to you?
Absolutely, yeah. And what I found really amazing and beneficial in my world is to sort of acknowledge the both and, right? Before I lived from this either or sort of universe, right? And that itself was its own universe. It was totally caught in dichotomy. And then I opened up to this idea of yes and, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, yes, there's suffering and there's unbelievable beauty and harmony and peace. And so it saves me from trying to wrestle with kind of what I see and what I know, and you know what I mean? I can actually hold both and
Yeah.
recognize that they both exist, and I can choose where I want to live, so to speak.
And they literally both exist. And matter of fact, infinite versions of that person or those people or that race exist, infinite. And so we all join in on this one movie because we think it's interesting or fascinating or we don't know any better, right? So I'm learning to find ways to express that you guys, we're bigger beings and we're creating this and we can create anything. Not that, right, you know, oh, life's terrible, life's terrible. I go, we're not, I think we're getting bored with that. I think
I am. I'm super bored of that.
bored with we're outgrowing struggle, suffering, war. Look at we've even out we're outgrowing war. Do you see how many people don't want to go to war now? We're outgrowing all this stuff because we know there's something better. And so that's what gives me optimism and hope. And do I get into those challenges and those struggles and those days where I go, man, this isn't turning out the way I want? Yeah, I do, but I'm quicker now to go, well, now why did I create that? Why would I go into that one? I go, well, have the experience then. Get it. Okay, now I'm bored with it. Okay, now get out of it. And I get out of it a lot faster now.
I love this advice. I just want to reiterate that we can choose which media we're listening to. We can choose which podcasts, right? We can choose which interviews. We can choose what videos and shows we're watching. We get to choose all these things. And what I've noticed is that as I surround myself with positive and beauty and encouragement and motivation, instead of this reporting of this suffering, my entire reality shifts, right? So I know what you're saying to be so true. And when I get sucked in or pulled into old habits, old conditioning, I can recognize that at some point and pull myself back in and choose a different
Yeah,
reality.
people just okay. They go, well, you're hiding your head in the sand. All this bad stuff's happening. I go, you're hiding your head in the sand by not realizing quantum physics and who we really are and this bigger ability to create our lives. So who's hiding there? No, different choice. It's a different choice of experiences.
I love this, Pam. I feel like I can go on and on with you. I hope one day we get to meet, because I love your energy. I love the feeling that you're all the work that you're doing is so amazing to me. So thank you so much for putting it all out into the world. Tell people where they can find more of your work.
My website, auracolors.com, A-U-R-A, Aura, A-U-R-A, colors, Colors.com.
Cool.
I'm just right back at you. I really appreciate that you're out there doing things like this too. It all adds to the expansion of our consciousness.
Absolutely. And check out our TED Talk. It is amazing. So cool. So, Pam, again, thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Jason. Have fun.